chairs. I'm going to ask Christine if she'll come up and share our Bible reading today from the book of Hebrews.
Just find out where I am. Hold fast your confession. Hebrews 19-25. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen.
Can you share with us this morning? Messing me about this, Stuart, sorry. My glasses. Don't lose them. I've lost my standby cheap pair.
Standby cheap pair?
Yeah.
I don't want to break them then.
Lord, we thank you for.
Thank you. Great stuff. Morning, friends. It's great to be with you. I'm hobbling a little bit, so you'll have to excuse me if I just don't wander about as much as I normally do. But I'm just having a bit of a hobble. So anyway, great to be with you this morning. God is good, and we come to praise him and worship his holy name. I love the songs we've been singing this morning, songs of victory. Hasn't it been great to sing some songs of victory? And some of that is going to be reflected in something that I'm going to share this morning, I hope. I pray that this will be a message of encouragement, because I think that passage that we heard is just a message of encouragement. It might be a challenge, but it's also an encouragement. Now, I don't know about you, but I think one of the things I've worked out as I've gone along on my Christian journey as a follower of Jesus is it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. You don't just go wham and then it's happened and it's all done. It takes time. Perhaps it's more like, I don't know, maybe it's more like a steeplechase where you jump over, there's lots of hurdles in the way and water jumps and things. Is that a steeplechase? Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, and they slow you up a bit and it's not as smooth as you would hope it would be. And if you think about the early disciples of Jesus, when he called them, when he said, come and follow me, he wasn't just talking about that little time while he was on earth with them. That call to them to follow him was for every single day of their lives. Now, they may not have realized that when they first signed up to it, when they were on that beach and they were fishermen, and Jesus said to Peter, come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He may not have realized at that point that it was going to be something that would last for the rest of his life and even that he would give his life for. But he did follow Jesus. And it's the same with us. I thank Jesus for the day that I was saved. And I guess some of you are in that place where you can remember that day vividly. Now, some of us, it's a more gradual process. We sort of come and then suddenly, as Jesus may have always been part of our lives, but he becomes real to us in some way. But I had one of those experiences that was a definite date, a day. And I just think that was such a wonderful day. And what I wasn't told at the time was that it doesn't stay like that. That actually, being a Christian can be quite hard work at times. And I don't, you know, I love that day. The day of my salvation was fantastic. I mean, just to know the love of Jesus in my life was fantastic. But then had to be a disciple of Jesus. I had to keep going. And that's what we're going to talk about today. It's about keeping going. It is tough sometimes to keep going as a follower of Jesus. We get sidetracked very easily. Well, I do anyway. It's very easy to get a bit weighed down with stuff. And as David was praying earlier, you know, those things that get in the way. One of the things that gets in the way often is sometimes it's social media. We spend a lot of time doom scrolling, I think that's what it's called now, where you just scroll and scroll and you lose track of what's going on and you see lots of, well, I don't know what it is, some of it's absolute nonsense. And news, the news can be really hard on us. It can be a real worry to us. So much so that my dad has been banned from watching the news. My mum said he'll sit there and he'll watch the news and then he'll just grumble about it for the next hour or so. And she said, I'm not having it. He's not allowed to watch the news. So he's banned. It goes off when the news is on. But the news distracts us. It can make think, well, what can I do in this world that, as David was praying, that world that so seems to be messed up at the moment? What can I do? It weighs on us, maybe. And then there's home stuff. There's all the stuff of home. There's family stuff, which gets in the way sometimes. There are bills to pay. Oh, who invented them? They are Satan. Satan invented bills, I'm sure. There are bills to pay, home stuff. It all gets in the way and it weighs us down and distracts us from following Jesus. And then there are the personal things. The things that really strike home. There may be illness in our lives or in the lives of the ones that we love. There are worries. There are concerns about, you know, the future, maybe of our children or grandchildren, what's the world going to look like for them? There's all that personal stuff as well. So all these things can distract us from following Jesus. And it's a ploy. I believe it's a ploy of Satan to distract us from following Jesus. The early disciples had it all the time. They were all bickering at times and they're all not quite getting it. And sometimes that was Satan whispering in their ear, this person you're following isn't the person you think he is. And we can get distracted in a very similar way if we're not careful. So how do we stop? How do we keep going? How do we ignore those whispers? How do we ignore that thing and keep going in our faith? So many people, it's sad that I see so many people, they follow Jesus faithfully for a number of years and then just drop off. And often it's not anything major that's come in their life. They just slowly stop being part of the fellowship, or they stop coming to house group, or they stop being part of the people of God, or they stop their ministry, whatever that is, and they just pull back, and then they've dropped off. And you might meet them in a few years' time and say, well, where did you get to with your faith? And they say, well, it just went. I don't know. I see that sadly so often. So how do we keep going? How do we stop this happening? And I think that's where this passage helps us, this call to persevere in faith, to keep going. Now, I think some of you, and I'm going to look at David, have done Practicing the Way. Yeah. John Mark Comer. I'm not going to repeat it all because he does it brilliantly and I'm not American. And he does it fantastically well. But one of the things I learned from doing Practicing the Way was it was all about putting Jesus first. Now, that may not seem such a surprising idea as being a Christian thing to help us get close to God, putting Jesus first. But it's fairly fundamental that we put Jesus first. And that means making time for Jesus. He talks about a rhythm of life that enables us to have that space set aside so that we can worship and praise and pray and be in God's presence. One of the things I gained from it was, as a minister, I do a lot of stuff for God. And I'm called to that. That's part of the job. That's what you get with it. But often that means I don't make enough space just to be with God. To have that space to be in his presence, to be one of his children, to sit with the Father God and know that he loves me. And I think that is so important. That's one of the things I learned from practicing the Practicing the Way course. And I guess this passage speaks to that. It says, not neglecting our faith, but building it up so that we can keep going when times are tough. It talks about that. How do we keep going? Well, the passage says, hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. How about that? We have a God who is faithful. His promises are true. And hold unswervingly. Don't get sidetracked. Don't go woo, woo, woo through your Christian life. Hold unswervingly to that promise, that hope we have, because he who promised is faithful. Now, I know in this world we get promised a lot. I know there are promises made that are not kept. I know perhaps we hear politicians, they promise us everything. And maybe we don't see very much response from that. The reality of the world doesn't enable some of those promises to be fulfilled. I worked in a role that sort of made promises to people at one point. Now my promise is that Jesus saves. But before that, I worked for the Met Office, the Meteorological Office. My job was working with the weather. And although they weren't exactly promises, the forecasts were made. And it's amazing that we would give those forecasts, whether it rain or shine or sun or fog or whatever it was, in good faith that they would happen. Now, as you know, with the British weather, it's a fickle thing. Somebody said meteorology is more an art than a science. It's not a very accurate science. And so some of those forecasts didn't actually come true. And people were disappointed. And it's amazing that you can get 80 or 90% of your forecasts right, but everybody remembers the ones you got wrong. But God's promise isn't like that. Thankfully, we have a God who has promised, and his promises are true and faithful. And what are his promises? His promises, as we read in that scripture, are from Jesus. They are through our Lord Jesus Christ. The promises are faithful that through in our faith and trust in Jesus, as we walk with him as his disciples, he will give us freedom and peace and hope and joy and healing and salvation. He will save us from our sins and he will save us to eternal life. That is what he's promised us. And those promises are true. Now, I just want to say, at this point, if you haven't had that experience of Jesus yet in your lives, just take a time, maybe don't listen to anything else I say, just take a time with God now and get that sorted out. Sit with Jesus and say, Lord, I want to believe in your promises and your promises are faithful. I want to know that love in my life. I want those promises of freedom and peace and hope and joy and healing and salvation for myself. Just take that time to do it now. Don't hold back. Just allow that to happen with you as you speak to the Lord Jesus. The rest of us can follow on with the rest of the sermon if you like. We can hold unswervingly to that hope because of Jesus. We have confidence to enter the most high place by the blood of Jesus. Can you imagine? This is another promise that just blows my mind. We can walk into the throne room of the Father God, the King of the universe. We can walk into that throne room. One of my favorite hymns is And Can It Be? And it says, bold I approach the eternal throne, bold I approach. Now, that's not to say we don't have humility, because we're aware of what brought us to that place. It's the blood of Jesus. Jesus has given his all that we might boldly approach the throne of God. But we can. That is his promise. We have a special place. We can draw near to God. In the Old Testament, people were fearful that if they even saw even maybe the back of God, not even his face, they would die because they were so so full of sin and God was so holy. The holiness of God would have overwhelmed them. And yet we can go into that holy place and know that God is our Father, our Daddy God. And that just blows my mind. That's just a wow moment. He wants us to draw near. Now, what has this got to do with keeping on? Now, if we've got a God that we can be that close to, that God is near, that we can go closely to him, that we can know his fatherly love that closely, that's got to keep us going. We have a heavenly Father who loves us and wants to be close. And his promises are true. They will not fail. We can keep going knowing that we are close to God, that we are loved and supported and cared for and prayed for by Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people will say, well, that's great. So your Christianity is just a crutch. Your Christianity is just a crutch. Well, I could do with a crutch at the moment because I'm limping a bit. Sometimes, in my case, exactly, a crutch is useful. Imagine if you didn't have it and you needed one. That would be rubbish. You'd fall over. Some people say, oh, your Christianity is just a crutch. It's just for emotionally soft people who can't cope with life. No, it isn't. It's no way. It's there for us every day of the week, every moment of the day, to keep us faithful and strong, to help to make this world a better place in Jesus' name, to enable others to know the freedom that Jesus brings. And sometimes we do need a crutch. I'd rather have the crutch that is the Lord Jesus Christ than if I face a tough time in my life, if I face some of the difficulties that life brings, that I know I've got a God who's on my side, than not have that. So how do we keep going? Well, we keep going also by helping one another. This passage says we need to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. So we have the faithfulness of God which keeps us going. But we need each other. We need each other to keep us going. Now, I know it's not always easy to be positive and encouraging. There's something in our British DNA, and I apologise if there are people from other nationalities here, but you may have even noticed that the Brits sometimes, we Brits, can often be a little bit cynical. And we like a little bit of a moan. Now, going back to what I said earlier, I think it's got something to do with the weather we put up with. However, we're called to help each other, to build each other up. Followers of Jesus Christ, we're supposed to encourage one another. It says spur one another on. Now, we have spurs. Spurs are for motivating horses to go. You click your spurs and they make the horse go. We're supposed to do that for each other. Challenging us sometimes. We need friends who are sort of like critical friends as Christians, that challenge us, that say, look, Stuart, that bit of your life, are you sure that's honouring to God? I get that from David, and I'm really pleased that I'm thankful for David, because we get together occasionally and pray, and we just chat this stuff through. Sometimes we need that challenge to make sure that we're on the right path, that we're sticking close to God, and that we're spending time in his presence. And we want to be more like Jesus. Spur one another on to be more like Jesus. When we look around at our friends here, in this fellowship even, how can we spur one another on to be a bit more like Jesus every day? For love and good deeds. It's great to hear the work that this church has been doing. And I'm pretty sure, you know, that the Millern, that's a good deed. Spur one another on to be doing that. The reaching out to the community, the Lighthouse Project, all that stuff, great, spurring one another on to good deeds. Because through this, Jesus will be revealed, Jesus will be glorified, and our faith will grow, and we will keep going. But we need each other to say, come on, good and faithful servant, let's go another mile. Let's do another thing. Let's continue to stick close to Jesus. And all this love and good deeds flows out of the love we've already received from Jesus Christ, that we have experienced ourselves. And that was one of the songs we were singing, said something along those lines. That actually it flows out of the love we've already had in Jesus. And so we should share it with others. It's hard to hold it back. If somebody loves us, we tell people often. If we have some good news, like a wedding, or an engagement, or something like that, we tell people because it's wonderful news. We have the news that we can have that relationship with Jesus, and we need to share it with others. But we need to keep going by spurring each other on. We need one another. And thirdly, and this getting to my final point, is that we need to spur one another on. We need to keep going by meeting together. I've been watching a thing called Freddie Flintoff, Fields of Dreams. Don't know if any of you have been watching that. It's about Freddie Flintoff, who a great cricket player, who now has been trying to set up cricket teams in areas of urban deprivation. And he's had such a tough time trying to set up these cricket teams. Because cricket doesn't necessarily go with areas of urban deprivation. I don't know if you noticed that. It was funny because they said, oh, this is a posh person sport. And I can sort of understand that, really. It is sort of. It's sort of always played by people from public schools and that sort of thing. But actually, Freddie wasn't. I think he grew up in Lancaster or somewhere like that. Blackburn or somewhere. So he's come from that background. And he wants to encourage kids just to get involved in that sport. Get them off the streets. Get them doing something positive. And so he's formed, three cricket teams. One in Blackpool, one in North Manchester, not too far from here, I think. And then there's one somewhere else, and I can't remember where it was. Where is it? Bootle, that's right, in Liverpool, yeah. And the interesting thing is to watch them. You think, well, how do they keep going? Those kids have got so many things that can distract them from playing cricket. First of all, it's the peer pressure. Their mates, you're going to tell their mates that they're playing cricket. They're going to be like, you're not playing football? No, we're playing this game cricket. And getting them involved in it. And then they have all sorts of special needs, all sorts of needs, which means they get very easily distracted as they play and as they learn the game. And it can be chaos. Yet the one thing I noticed is that they're starting to form a team. And as they do that, they get better. As they join together. And some weeks, none of them turn up. Or they'll have three of them. And the training sessions are a bit poor. The team hasn't grown. They go and play a match and it's not great. Yet when they turn up together, when they play together, when they form a team, they're amazing. They amaze themselves. They're just overwhelmed. They can't believe that this group of kids who have really gotten, you know, they don't really have great prospects in life, I guess, they've suddenly achieved something for themselves. But they've done it together by meeting together. And it made me think that's somehow something like the church. As church, we're not just independent bodies that occasionally meet together for some singing. We are interdependent. We need each other to keep going. When times are tough, I don't know how many of you here, and I've experienced it myself, that when I've had a really bit of bad news in my life, where the church has stepped up and given me the encouragement and the help and the prayer that's needed. We need one another. So we shouldn't give up meeting. Meeting together is so important. Christianity is not a solitary activity. Some of the stuff we might do may mean that we do it on our own in Jesus' name, but we need to be together in it. Christianity is to be together. You've probably heard the old story of the coal. Christianity is like a lump of coal. Coal in a fire keeps hot. But as soon as one bit drops out of the fire, it'll start hot, but it'll soon get cold. And then it'll go out. And that's a bit like our faith in fellowship. We need to stay in the fire and not remove ourselves from it, because we will cool off and eventually perhaps go out. But if you put that bit of coal back in the fire, it gets hot again. So that doesn't mean we can't go back. We can go back into the fire and receive that fire of the Spirit that helps us all together. But we need one another to keep us hot. We need to get together because we know the world can be tough. We know it's difficult to keep on going. We shouldn't hide from it, but we need to build each other up to live for Jesus. So spur one another on. Encourage one another. Build each other up. Meet together. And know we can walk boldly into the presence of God. And most of all, friends, keep going for Jesus. Amen.